Welcome, my name is Pastor Scotty Bockhaus, and we thank you for taking some time to listen to some audio recordings from the pulpit of the Riverview Baptist Church. Our desire is to show the Lord high, holy, and lifted up, as well as try to be a blessing to those through the Word of God. Please enjoy this message, and we pray that it will be a blessing to your life. And if you wouldn't mind to take your copy of the Word of God and turn with me to the New Testament book of Ephesians. The New Testament book of Ephesians in chapter number 5. The New Testament book of Ephesians in chapter number 5. We are continuing to get on this downward spiral of finishing up this. The book of Ephesians will be done very shortly, just a few more messages left. But as we're finishing up this series, we've already been traveling through, coming with the idea that the purpose of this book is to bring glory to God by the church and to teach us those principles. And one of the greatest ways to show and to glorify God is to have unity in the church. Remember, the purpose of this book was written so that there would be unity within that local church of the book of the church of Ephesus, and that we can apply it to ourselves as well with the same principles. And that when it all boils down to is that if we're going to have unity, that we all need to keep looking at the same thing, and that is the Lord Jesus Christ. And as we go through chapter 5, we've already kind of gone through and hit some principles in chapter 5 about about looking unto the Lord, about having great fellowship, being children of the light, being children of God, also going to the idea that we are to know God's will, to be filled with the Spirit, and that being filled with the Spirit started to go into the family. And that not only do we want to have unity in the church, but we also want to have unity within the family. And so chapter 5 takes some time to explain about having unity in the family. And let me tell you, the same secret of having unity in the family is the same secret of having unity within the church. Everyone keeping their eyes on the Lord. That if the husband is going towards the Lord and the wife is going towards the Lord, they're going to grow closer to each other. The same thing with the relationships with the church. That is, we have our eyes on the Lord and you're growing closer to the Lord and I'm growing closer to the Lord. We will also be growing closer together. Well, as we come to the book of Ephesians chapter 5 towards the end, we also see this principle starting to become more practical. Notice with me in the book of Ephesians chapter 5 and notice with me in verse number 31. Ephesians chapter 5, starting at verse 31, notice what the Word of God says. For this cause shall a man leave his father and mother, and shall be joined together unto his wife, and they two shall be one flesh. This is a great mystery, but I speak concerning Christ and the church. Nevertheless, let every one of you in particular so love his wife even as himself, and the wife see that she reverence her husband. Children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. Honor thy father and mother, which is the first commandment with promise, that it may be well with thee, and thou mayest live long on the earth. And ye fathers, provoke not your children to wrath, but bring them up in the nurture and admonition of the Lord. And if you're in the habit of marking things in your Bible, would you mark two words that we find in this passage? The first word we're going to find in the book of Ephesians chapter 5 and verse number 33. Ephesians chapter 5 verse 33. Notice the word reverence. The word reverence. And then in chapter 6 verse number 2, notice the word honor. Notice the word honor. And with the Lord's help, we want to hit the principle that's being taught here about reverence and honor. Reverence and honor. If you don't mind, let's go to the Lord together and let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, thank you so much again for you being a wonderful God. And as we come up to you now, as we come up and understand the principles of the Word of God, I'm asking that we would truly have a great understanding of it. So much so that it impacts our life and how we deal with others, how we deal with those in our family, those in authority, those that we deal with. That do us wrong, that you would help us now to really grab a hold of this principle. Lord, I recognize that in myself, I need you. Lord, this is such an important principle, and it's something that's become alive to me. But Lord, only your spirit can make it live in the hearts of someone else. So I'm asking that you would allow these good folks out here to have spiritual discernment now, that they'd be able to receive this wonderful truth, and it would be a great help to every single one of us. Lord, we do love you. Fill me with your precious spirit, and we're just looking forward with expectation that you would get your own work accomplished through your precious word. And in Jesus' name we pray, amen. When we come to the idea of the Christian home, there are some basic components that must be in place in order for that home to function correctly. That honor, reverence, and if we were to use another word to cover both of those, respect, is more basic inside of a family than even love. That without respect, the home falls apart. There's no respect between parents, no respect to wives, to husband. If there's no respect in all the directions, the home is going to fall apart, because it's hard to submit to someone that you don't respect. It is very hard for things to function correctly if you don't have this basic idea of respect. And out of this idea of respect comes the idea of honor and reverence. And so if you don't mind, let's take some time and understand this idea of reverence and honor, dealing with the idea of respect within a home, that a home that's supposed to function correctly. The first thing I'd like to show you from this passage, if you don't mind, is that reverence in the family starts with honoring the parents. That reverence in the family starts, here's the starting point, it starts with honoring parents. If you don't mind, notice with me in chapter 6 and verse number 1. Notice it says, children, obey your parents in the Lord. Now, God knows children, and he knows that children often ask the question, why? So you give them command, children, obey your parents. Why? Notice God answers the question, why? For this is right. Why should I obey my parents? Because this is right. Because it's what you're supposed to do. You don't need any other excuse other than that. You are to obey your parents, to honor your parents. Children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. Honor thy father and thy mother, which is the first commandment with promise. Now, this is referring back to the Ten Commandments. That as you get to the first commandment with promise, this is going to be the commandment that says to honor thy father and thy mother. The Bible continues on in the Ten Commandments that says, guess what? God will give you long life and blessings if you keep this commandment. And so the first commandment with promise is this promise here of to honor thy father and thy mother. Notice again verse 2. Honor thy father and thy mother, which is the first commandment with promise, that it may be well with thee and that thou mayest live long on the earth. We understand that the first part of reverencing and honor chronologically is going to start with the idea of the children obeying their parents, honoring these parents. Now, someone may say, well, I'm an older person. How does this commandment affect me? I mean, I'm no longer in my parents' household. In fact, that's what we're told in Ephesians chapter 5 in verse number 31. For this cause shall a man leave his father and mother and shall be joined to his wife, and they shall be one flesh. That the Bible says I'm supposed to leave mom and dad. I'm supposed to establish my own household. How does this commandment of honoring thy father and mother still affect me? Now notice in verse number 2, it uses the word honor. This carries the idea of respect. That when you are your own person, you are in your own household, you no longer necessarily have to obey your parents, but you must always honor them. You must always respect them. This commandment does not end. It is a lifelong obligation. In fact, Jesus took this very seriously. Hold your finger here and let's watch as Jesus deals with the Pharisees who have messed up this commandment in the gospel record of Mark. Notice with me in the gospel record of Mark in chapter number 7, just to kind of put an exclamation mark on this idea. When do we quit honoring our folks? When is the cutoff? Well, the Pharisees had an idea in their mind that they could take a shortcut and kind of bypass this idea of honoring their parents. Notice with me in the gospel record of Mark in chapter number 7. The gospel record of Mark chapter 7, and notice with me in verse 10. Mark chapter 7 verse 10, it says this: "For Moses said, honor thy father and thy mother, and whoso curseth father or mother, let him die the death. But ye say," this is the Pharisees, "but ye Pharisees say, if a man shall say to his father or mother, it is korban," that is to say a gift, "by whatsoever thou mightest be profited by me, he shall be free. And ye suffer him no more to do aught for his father or his mother, making the word of God of none effect through your traditions which ye have delivered, and many such like things do ye." Now, what is happening here during this time is the Pharisees say, yeah, we know that's part of the Ten Commandments. We always obey the law, but we found a loophole. That we found that if we give a korban, a special gift. So basically, mom, dad, I love you, but I'm going to go my own way. And so I don't have to deal with you anymore. Here's a very special, expensive gift. This is your gift. This takes care of the rest of the obligation I have for the rest of my life. I'll see you later. And they no longer take care of mom and dad after that. They no longer deal with them. They just said, korban, it's done. And they set it aside. And Jesus says, no, this is not how it is. There's no shortcuts. There's no getting out of honoring father and mother. This is an obligation you have for the rest of your life to always show them respect, to always show them honor. In fact, notice as the New Testament deals with this principle even more, turn with me to the book of 1 Timothy and chapter number 5. This is a promise that is in the Ten Commandments, or a commandment in the Ten Commandments, that we are to honor our father and our mother. We are to always do this. There's no shortcuts. There's no getting out. There's no situation in the Word of God where you are released from this commandment of honoring our father and our mother. Jesus dealt with the Pharisees. Notice with me in 1 Timothy chapter number 5. As the idea of our parents are still being dealt with. Notice with me in 1 Timothy chapter number 5. Notice with verse number 4. "But if any widow have children or nephews, let them learn first to show piety at home and to requite their parents, for that is good and acceptable before God." Notice that word requite. That word requite carries the idea of repaying. You understand? Well, parents who now have children understand, kids cost a lot of money. You know, they need food every now and again, or every couple hours, every couple minutes, depending on where they're at in their stage of life. They need stuff like clothes and shoes. And, you know, our kids are at the place where every other week they need their shoes because they've got like big feet that just keep busting out like the Hulk. I think of those days of Moses' days when they wandered around the wilderness for 40 years and their shoes didn't wear out. I mean, that'd be nice, wouldn't it? You understand that kids, it requires clothes and they need lessons and they need doctor's appointments and they need this and they need that. It cost quite a bit. Now, I think this is an old statistic, but someone calculated up just to from birth to going up towards college, not even to college, but birth to whatever else, it cost $400,000 to raise a child. It's a lot of money. I mean, and they don't even help out around the house like they're supposed to, right? You know, we're not requiring them to do anything. They're our children. We are obligated to take care of them. Well, the Bible says, guess what? There's going to be a day when your folks are going to be senior saints. They're going to need help. And guess what? If any have a widow, so it's talking about a lady who has lost her husband. Her husband's no longer alive. She is elderly. And her children, they are supposed to let them first to show piety at home. Meaning that if they're going to prove that they're right with God, they start at home. Someone who does not do their homework is not right with God. It says, let them first show piety home and to requite or to pay back their parents. Hey, your parents had to change your diapers, there may be a time where you may have to do that. There are times that your parents had to feed you, right? With the airplane, open your mouth. There may be a time where you may have to do that. There may be times where you have to spend some money to take care of your folks. Guess what? Your parents did that to you. There's going to be a time in life where you may have to requite to pay back your folks. By the way, it's not just money. Parents know that we spent a lot of time with the children, face-to-face time. There's some times that we'll have to do face-to-face time with our elderly folks. And the Bible is saying this is something that needs to be done. And by the way, for this is good and acceptable before God. Notice as it goes on, just to fast forward verse number 8. Still dealing with the same subject of the children taking care of their elderly mother. But if any provide not for his own, again speaking to the idea of the senior saints, their parents, and especially for those of his own house, he had denied the faith and is worse than an infidel. The Bible says that some low down, no good person who refuses to take care of his elderly folks, it's just like as if he was a lost heathen. That's what he looks like. That's the testimony that he has. Now someone says, well, you don't understand. My folks are not easy to deal with. My folks have issues. Whose folks don't, right? You've got issues. They've got issues. But we still have the obligation of honoring our folks. You understand that even if your folks are away from the Lord, you should give them a call from time to time and let them know that you love them. Let them know. Find some way to honor them. You say, you don't understand. They are horrible heathens. It doesn't matter. You find some way to honor them. You say, my parents hate the Lord. Find some way to honor them. If you could forgive the personal illustration, both of my parents are now divorced, and one's remarried, and one's getting remarried, and it's a big mess. But you understand, there are times that my mother, I'm a pastor, and my mother says, we're not going to talk anything about the church of the Bible. You understand that gets rid of pretty much my whole life. I can't talk about anything. But I'm still under the obligation to call her up, say, I love you. How was your day going? I love you. What can I do to be a blessing to you? You understand, I still have to do that. It doesn't matter how far away the Lord, it doesn't matter how much they yell at me about church stuff or whatever else. I still, under the obligation, now I'm not doing it for my folks, you understand that? I'm doing it to be obedient to Him. It's because of Him. Can you honor your folks? It doesn't matter how much of a low-down, rotten scoundrel they may be. Can you do it for the Lord's sake? Can you do it because you love Him? Because I love Him, I will honor my folks. Now, we understand that some folks are easy to love. We like those ones. But not all of us have that privilege of having folks that's easy to love. But we're still under the biblical commandment, and there's no shortcuts. There's no gift getting out of it. There's nothing we can do to bypass it. This is a lifelong obligation to always honor our folks. And I understand some of us, it is harder, but we have to do it anyways because we understand the testimony that we are true believers is going to be evidence to the rest of the world by how we treat our folks. You could say, I'm the greatest Christian in the world, and then kick your folks when they're down. That's a horrible testimony. You understand, we first have to do our homework. We have to take care of things at home. And that some of us need to be that reminded, I need to call my folks this week. I need to send them a present. I need to do something to let them know that they're honored. Even if they don't appreciate it, you're not doing it to get appreciated. You're doing it because this is right. Because this is good and acceptable to the Lord. And I want to have the testimony to all of those around us that I honor my folks. I don't have to agree with them, but I always have to honor them. As we go back to the book of Ephesians, chapter number 5 and chapter number 6, we're understanding that we're talking about the idea of reverence and honor. The idea of respect within the family. And that it must be done. And we understand that the building block of everything begins with parents. You understand that children should always be taught to honor their folks. I'm one of the old school. I believe in teaching them to say, yes, ma'am, no, ma'am. Yes, sir. No, sir. And make sure that you get the right one, right? You make sure that we honor them the best we can. We teach the children the idea of respect. You understand that the world we live in today is a disrespectful, irreverent world. And you know where it began? It began from the home. It began because mothers and fathers did not take the time to teach their children to respect authority, much less respect themselves. With that, let me give you a principle that some of us may acknowledge, but still has to be practiced. You are not commanded to be their friend. You're commanded to be the parent. Sometimes that means that you have to say, no, but they won't like me. They don't have to like you. They're required to honor and respect you, but you're the parent. Sometimes you must tell them no for their good. Sometimes you must ground them. Sometimes you must chastise them. And it's because you love them. And if you don't, you're hurting them. We know that comes with it. They need to be taught respect. They need to be taught, again, old school thinking, but I think that stuff goes through it. Tell them once and only once. That, you know, again, old school thinking, but it didn't do me any harm, and it would help the rest of the world if they had that same idea to do it once and only once. I'm only going to tell you once. If I tell you and you don't get it done, there's consequences. Well, I didn't hear you. Well, that's your problem, right? You know, I understand that we have to teach them at home, and I understand there's different parenting philosophies and whatever else. However you employ it, there has to be the application that we teach the children to respect their parents. Because if they will not respect their parents, later on they will not respect their boss. If they will not respect their parents, they will not respect their spouse. If they will not respect their parents, they will not respect government, leadership, authority, police officers, and go on. This is where they're taught to respect that authority. That it begins with children, honor thy father and thy mother. Why? Because this is right. This is good and acceptable to the Lord. As we go on, we also see something else here. That reverence comes from the fear of God. That reverence comes from the fear of God. Where does this come from? Notice with me in Ephesians chapter 5, verse 21. Ephesians chapter 5 and verse 21. Submitting yourselves one to another in the fear of God. Now we know that this is leading up to the idea of the home that in the same passage. But before we deal with wives submit, husbands loves, wives reverence, it begins with God. It begins with God. That if you are right with God, you will be right with others. You understand this is the foundational place to start, is our relationship with the Lord. That I cannot be the father I ought to be unless God is in his rightful place. I cannot be the husband I ought to be unless God is in his rightful place. That it begins with God. And that if God is in his rightful place, we can deal with the hiccups that people bring. We understand there's no such thing as a perfect person. There's no such thing as a perfect marriage. There's no such thing as a perfect child. And there's no such thing as a perfect parent. And so we have to learn to deal with people's imperfections. There are nuances. There is sin. There's rebellion. There's personality clashes. How do you deal with it? By looking towards the Lord. Keeping your eyes on him. You know, we get the thing where your wife is bothering you and she does all these things. Keep your eyes on the Lord and God will give you grace. By the way, wives, when your husband is just, you've had it up to here and I can't deal with it no more, keep your eyes on him. You see, it all begins with the fear of God. Why am I able to submit to the authority? Because I'm looking at him and I do it for his sake. You know, we understand that this idea of reverence and honor, it has the foundations of building it up from the home, of teaching them to the parents. But where is the source? Where does it come from? The fear of God. Everything else in my life will trickle down from this idea that because of who God is, everything else will fall into place. Which now brings me to a third thing I'd like to show you. That reverence is essential to a happy home. Reverence is essential to a happy home. Now, We understand for a wife, she must have unconditional love in order for her to thrive. A lady requires security and safety. When she has security in her life, that safety, when she feels loved, she will thrive. And this is what a man or husband is supposed to provide for her the best he can with the Lord's help, is that safety, that security. But on the flip side, just like a woman needs unconditional love, meaning that she knows her husband's going to love her no matter what she did, no matter what failing she has, a man must have unconditional respect. That a man, in order for him to thrive, his wife must respect him. You say, but respect must be earned. Good thing is that we all begin with God. Remember, we start with Him. And because God is in His rightful place, we can now deal with the other people in our life. I will respect the authority in my life, even though he's a no good, rotten scoundrel, because I love the Lord and I'm trying to be pleasing to Him. You understand, this is where it begins. There are so many men, if you could forgive kind of a base vernacular, of a man who is a loser. I meant just barely survives, nobody likes me, he's rejected by everything, and have a wife who shows him respect, a wife who encourages him and loves on him and keeps him going and says, honey, we can do it. You can do it. You can accomplish it. That's a man who's going to blossom into something amazing that God is going to use. Whereas there's many of a lady who has turned a man with full of potential and just nagged and nagged and nagged and destroyed him. You just can't do anything right. You just can't do it. Fine, I'll just do it myself. You know, after a while, a man will just stop fighting. He doesn't want to fight with a lady. He'll just say, whatever, you're the boss now. You tell me what to do. I just don't want to hear anymore. No wonder the Bible says that a nagging woman inside of a house is like a continual dripping. Drip, 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 drip. Drip. After a while, he's like, I'm not dealing with this no more, whatever you want. That is why today I don't recommend any sitcoms on TV, but if you were to somehow accidentally watch one, you know what would happen? You would have the woman who's the boss of the house and the husband who's a no good doofus who can't do anything right. You know what has happened? She has no longer respected her husband and she's taking charge and now he's just bumbling around. That's what happens when a man doesn't get that continual respect. That it's something you have to lift him up. You have to work on him. And by the way, how do you show him respect? It's how you talk about him to others. It's how you talk to him at home. You can't do anything right. I'll just do it myself. Guess what? He's going to get to the place where he actually believes what you say. Well, I can't do anything right, so why not try? And now the lady's more frustrated. He won't be the leader. He won't take this role. Well, you've told him that he's going to fail. Good luck. You understand? This is the things that breaks down. That we have to teach people. By the way, this is one of the Bible says about discipleship in the book of Titus. That the elder women are to teach the younger women how to be good wives to their husbands. How to be keepers at home, chaste and all that other stuff. You understand that when you get married, there is no book, except for the Bible, that says how to have a great marriage. Most people try to muddle through the best they can. That's why older women are to take younger women and say, let me teach you how to respect your husband. Let me teach you how to honor your husband. Let me teach you how to make it so he will blossom and bloom in the area that God has given him to do. You understand that's part of why things are failing, is because we no longer have that discipleship of the elder ladies teaching the younger ladies how to do that. Because there is no manual, and people try to do the best they can, but then you get tempers and flesh and whatnot. Next thing you know, just give it to me, do it myself. Fine, have it that way. You know, just as a practicality, you say, Pastor, you're getting borderline meddling. I'm trying to help now. Find something your husband is good at, whether it's a hobby, whether it's fishing or games or whatever else, and show an interest in what he's doing. Allow him to have a place where he's good at and say, teach me your hobby. Teach me your thing. You say, but I don't want to. That's part of the problem. if you get him an environment where he is the expert, where he's the one succeeding, and say, you know, this is very good, and put your heart into it, that's part of a step of helping him to blossom, to grow. Put him in situations. Find some way to compliment him. Now, we'll flip this over. Husbands, you need to show reverence and love to your wife, that there are many good men who have made their wives blossom by loving them and cultivating them. You understand that both of you are partners together. And your job, gentlemen, is to make your wife look good. Wives, your job is to make your husband look good. And when that happens, when you make your husband look good, he's going to blossom. Why, husbands, when you make your wife look good, she will blossom. And when you're both blossoming together, you've got a couple that matches what the Bible says and is going to have a great influence on others. You understand that biblical Christianity, where the rubber hits the road, is in the home. People will watch our homes. If they watch our homes and we're fighting and squabbling like the neighbors, why should they believe what the Bible says works? People are tired of hearing about Christians. They want to meet one. Now, I understand there's no such thing as a home without problems. All right? There's no such thing. But there could be a home that operates biblically. There's a home where both of them are trying not to compete against each other, but try to help each other advance forward. That's a type of home where the world says there's something to that practicality. There's something to what they have. It's just not talk. I see it in their marriage. I see it in their life. I want to know that God. I want to know what's different from them than me and my wife who are ready to strangle each other. What is different? Now, this all comes that reverence is essential to a happy home. There has to be there. The woman needs unconditional love. The man needs unconditional respect. If the husband respects his wife, it's going to help her to blossom and grow. If the wife respects her husband, it's going to help him to blossom and grow. Now, notice this doesn't just go with husband and wife. Notice with me in verse number 4. And ye fathers, provoke not your children to wrath, but bring them up in the nurture and admonition of the Lord. Now you understand, this is a commandment to the father as the head of the home, that you are not to provoke your child to wrath. You say, how do I provoke my child to wrath? By inconsistency. That is the number one thing, is inconsistency. That's where you say, do what I say and not what I do. That's inconsistency. You understand, children may be hypocrites, but they could spot hypocrisy from a mile down the road. And they react to it. This is where the bitterness comes in. This is where the things. Again, we understand there's no such thing as a perfect home. But your child knows you well enough to know if you have a walk with the Lord. Children will respond to chastisement if they know that you love them. They will respond differently than they're responding because you're mad at them and you're just getting back at them. You understand there's a difference in discipline there. That if you're disciplining because your child made you look bad, that's bad. You should always discipline, chastise, with the idea that you're loving on them to help correct their behavior so they become a better person. And they should know that it comes out of love. Because if not, you're working on a bitter child who is going to rebel against authority because of the inconsistency. You understand, this carries the idea of respect. Parents, are you respectable to your kids? Now, I understand we're not talking about perfection, but you can still be imperfect, but the children know that you love on them, know that you're trying to help them, know that you care. They will respond to discipline better than if you're doing it out of inconsistency after watching your life. You understand this all carries the idea of reverence and honor. This has to be in there to have a happy home. Not just between husbands and wives, but between children and their parents. This has to be there, this idea of respect. We also understand, as we talked about this morning, to have a happy home, you must be full of God yourself. That if we're truly to be a changed, it will affect our home. It will affect others. As we've gone through the book of Ephesians, it's been interesting to see how the Bible progresses with the idea of being full. In Ephesians chapter 1, it says that when we accepted Christ, we have the Holy Spirit. We're sealed to the day of redemption. In chapter 3, the Bible says we are to be full with the fullness of God, which moves on to chapter 5, which we talked about this morning, that we're to be filled with the Holy Spirit. That when you accept Jesus Christ as your Savior, the Holy Spirit comes to live within inside of your heart. And God's desire is for you to be full of Him. And when you purposely die to self and are filled with Him, it will not only change you, but it will change how you deal with people. It will help you to deal with people biblically, and they will respond in kind. This whole issue is not with how man and wife deal with each other. It is not dealing primarily with how parents and children respond to each other. It is all about how mankind responds to God. And when we respond to God properly, we will respond to those relationships in our life properly. It all begins with God. And so maybe there's something wrong with one of your relationships. Maybe there's something wrong with your relationship between you and your parents. Now, you can only do anything about you. We understand the very first place where you need to start is getting right with God. And then once you're right with God, deal with your parents. Maybe you're at the idea where a husband and wife are at odds with each other. The very first place to start is not to get things right between you two. It's to get things right between you and the Lord. And then God will enable you to deal with those. Maybe you're having an issue with kids. And that happens. The very first place you need to start is not with a child. But you need to start with your relationship with the Lord. Make sure that's right. And then deal with the relationship with the children. Maybe you're having an issue with your boss. Let me tell you that the issue with your boss isn't just with the boss. You need to deal with your relationship with the Lord first. And then deal with those other relationships. You understand, it all begins with God. And when we're full of the Lord, we're dead to self. It changes us. And it changes how we deal with others around us. If you want to find out very quickly if you're dead to self, deal with your family. And you will find very quickly if you're dead to self or if you're full of emotions, you'll find out very quickly who's in charge, the flesh or the spirit. Because you deal with the situation very differently if you're in charge or if God's in charge. It all begins with God. But how we deal with others is one of the greatest testimonies, one of the greatest evidences to the lost world, whether we're following the Lord or not. How is your relationship with your parents? It doesn't matter what a scumbag he may be. You need to be right with him. How is your relationship between your husband and wife? It doesn't matter how bad they failed or what issues they have. If you're right with the Lord, you will be right with them. The same with kids. Kids, you say, I'm so mad with mom right now. Let me tell you, the first thing you need to do is get right with God and then get things right with your parents. Fix those situations. Don't let them out there. If you have an issue with a boss, if you have an issue with a pastor, you have an issue with the president, get it right. Starting with the Lord and then fix those other relationships the best you can. What we need to do tonight is do our homework. We need to get things right at home. Whether it's a little thing or a big thing, let's take care of it tonight. Thank you for listening to this audio message. This is Pastor Scotty Bockhaus, and I encourage you to take this information that you just received and make a specific decision to follow after the Lord. If you don't know Jesus Christ as your Savior, let me beg you to take the time to receive Jesus Christ for the forgiveness
of your sins. If you are saved, I encourage you to make a decision in your life to help you get closer with the Lord. If there's anything specific we can do to be a blessing or to pray for you, we encourage you. Look us up on the internet at riverviewbc.com. Once again, that's riverviewbc.com. Or if you would prefer to call us, you can give us a call at area code 920-530-6308. Once again, that number is 920-530-6308. If there's anything we can do to be a blessing or an encouragement to you, please let us know. We would love to make ourselves available. Thank you.